Welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is podcast number 72 for the week of February the 26th, even though it's already March 1st, which makes it sound a bit dated. But I trust you, it's every bit as up-to-date and fresh and not past its sell-by date as any podcast we've ever done. I'm your host, Gary Witter, backspace columnist for PC Gamer. Joining me as always are PC Gamer stalwarts Dan Stapleton.
This podcast best if consumed before April 24th.
And Chuck Osborne.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Our producer, Jeremy Williams, out of Chicago.
Back in action.
And intern Andy Salisbury. Not quite a stalwart yet. Maybe just a wart, but...
That's happy to be here nonetheless.
There you go. And not likely to be lanced or frozen or any time. What is it they do to warts?
I think they freeze them, but I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they freeze them off, don't they, with some kind of...
Like this little thing, this spray you can buy at the store.
Liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, liquid nitrogen. Not likely to be frozen with liquid nitrogen any time soon.
Unless he plays Duke Nukem.
Huh?
Why would that happen?
Oh, that's right. Then you kick somebody and they shatter. Just like a wart.
I like how we're into the episode about 30 seconds and we're talking about warts already.
Hey, I tied it back to Duke Nukem, all right? I'm on the games thing.
Better than porn, right?
Yes. I like the fact that we've backed up our assertion that this podcast isn't any way out of date by talking about a 10-year-old game immediately out of the... Well, 11 years old now, I believe. Isn't it 96?
I think it's still 10.
That's true, but I can prove how topical we are, because this week it is still not out.
The title of the game really ages it, doesn't it? The fact that they put 3D in the title of the game, like that's back when 3D was still kind of new and exciting, just really demonstrates how old it is.
And it was only 2.5D, really. The levels were 3D, but the characters were still sprite-based.
It's a good old build engine.
That's right, the build engine. My goodness, that takes me back. All right, well, let's drag ourselves into the present here. An interesting story this week, and one that you're not likely to see reported in any of the major news outlets, is an article published in the most recent issue of the Quarterly Journal, published by the American Sociological Association. A well-renowned sociologist by the name of Karen Sternheimer has voiced the controversial and yet, of course, completely true view that violent games don't, in fact, cause youth violence, and it's really just a convenient excuse for people who are too lazy to address the true and much more difficult to solve causes of youth violence, things like poverty, neighborhood instability, unemployment, and family violence. You know, the internal environment inside individual family homes are much more likely to be the reason why good kids go bad than, you know, playing Half-Life. But Dan, I think I'm right in saying that this podcast is probably one of the only media outlets is going to pick this story up. It's just not sexy, is it, to say that video games are rotting our kids' minds?
It's a little bit less sensational than your kid is going to kill you in your sleep because he played some GTA.
I'm guessing the researchers over at Fox News aren't, you know, clamoring to get this woman on their show to talk about this study.
Well, maybe to be yelled at.
Yeah.
Well, maybe like Bill O'Reilly shout at her.
They'll bring her on to turn off her mic.
Yeah, but it should be noted that this woman is a sociologist that works at the University of Southern California, so she's not, you know, just some quack publishing, you know, out of nowhere paper. So she's actually got some weight behind her.
But you can already imagine what the right wingers are going to say, though. It's like, oh well, you know, those Fruit Loops down in Southern California. Of course, they would say that.
Well, it's not just the right wing. It's not just the right wing, though. I mean, it's all the Democrats that are going out of their way to ban video games. So,
you mean all those liberals down in Orange County?
Yeah.
But, I'm gonna read just a little bit. I'm gonna quote just a little bit from the article that she wrote here. Karen writes. Blaming video games meant that the shooters were set aside from other violent youth, frequently poor males of color, at whom our Get Tough legislation has been targeted. The video game explanation constructs the white middle-class shooters as victims of the power of video games rather than fully culpable criminals. When boys from quote-unquote good neighborhoods are violent, they seem to be created by video games rather than by their social circumstances. White middle-class killers retain their status as children easily influenced by a game, victims of an allegedly dangerous product. African-American boys, apparently, are simply dangerous. And so this does seem to be deconstructing a lot of the myths that that media has been propagating about the causes of youth violence.
Well, there I think she's talking about how the myth of this violence is inherently racist, because they're only talking about white youth. They're not talking about black youth.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that you know, you hear a gang shooting being blamed on game violence, but you know, every time some, you know, middle class white kid goes nuts and shoots somebody, it's, you know, because he played video games.
She also says here, politicians and other moral crusaders frequently create folk devils, individuals or groups designed as evil and immoral. Folk devils allow us to channel our blame and fear. Video games have become contemporary folk devils because they seem to pose a threat to children. Such games have come to represent a variety of social anxieties about youth violence, new computer technology, and the apparent decline in the ability of adults to control what young people do and know. Panics about youth and popular culture have emerged with the appearance of many new technologies, cars, radio, movies, rock music, and even comic books. And this, of course, is an argument that we've on the video game side have made many times before, that video games are just the latest new thing to be considered a threat by people that just don't get it.
You know, right. This one must be stopped. She's speaking common sense.
Way too much sense.
Well, you know, with that recent shooting that happened too, there was a guy who, you know, went crazy and ballistic on people, and they went to his house, weren't able to find a single video game.
Which one was this?
I'm not sure. It was a while back. I just remember reading it in passing.
And I bet you they tried really hard as well. I bet you can imagine turning over mattresses and going, there's got to be a video game in here somewhere.
There was a mobile game on a cell phone.
Yeah, and like I read an article not too long ago where it was about like an increase in teenagers going out and beating up homeless people for fun. And like this one kid got arrested for it and said, well, it reminded him of a video game, apparently.
No, what I find surprising about how the media is so keen to pick up on these stories about the video games being violent and bad, and they seem to want to not talk about the more positive stories that take the common sense view that maybe there are other more realistic factors in play, is that the media seems to be complicit in attacking itself. Video games are part of the media as well, and in many cases these the companies that run, you know, news organizations also, you know, have other parts of their organization that publish video games. It almost seems like they're out to get themselves. I mean, it's violent movies and violent TV shows and violent video games, and yet the news media seems quite happy to keep pointing the finger at itself. You think they might take a more discerning view or look at the issue a little bit more quickly and scaremonger not quite so quickly if they stood back for a moment and realized that they're kind of attacking themselves here.
Well, not really. I mean, because it's a lot more salient if there's a threat involved, a threat to the children. That's what makes people want to watch. That's
Won't
what drives
somebody please think of the children?
Absolutely.
Every single time that I turn on the local news here in San Francisco, it seems like there's always that trailer. It's like, you know, and which popular food has been found to kill you immediately? We'll tell you at 11. It's like
after the commercial break.
Yeah, absolutely. Fear is a great way to motivate people to tune into their station.
But you know what really causes people to what really incites violence in our youth?
Oh, don't
What's
say
that?
It. Don't say it. I know where he's going.
The Bible.
Oh, he went there.
No, it's not me. It's this comes from this one of the same people that worked on the American Psychological Association's Committee on Violence in Video Games and Interactive Media that issued a report saying that violent video games were linked to an increase in aggression in children. This is one Dr. Bushman who has now put out a study along with a group of other psychologists who say that in their research, the violence in the Old Testament, where God basically sanctions killings, can you know give people not necessarily encouragement, and they do go out of their way to say, you know, we're not saying that reading scripture is bad, you know, they're covering their asses there.
This is research that was conducted in part at Brigham Young University in Utah, which many people will of course know is a Mormon school. I don't know if that in any way affects or colors their view of the Bible. But
only half of the students were from Brigham
Young. 248 of 490 students were studied, and again, I'm going to just quote briefly from this article, which is going to be published, I guess, in the next issue of Psychological Science magazine. Brigham Young professor Robert Ridge says, and I quote, "We were not saying that reading the scriptures is bad, but we were pointing out that if a person was seeing that kind of violent literature, it could have some negative effects. When you think about terrorists and they say God will sit in judgment and they sometimes refer to a scripture, our question was, could that really make a person behave more aggressively? And the answer is, yes, it could."
Which is absolutely right. I mean, if you take something, you know, if you're looking for an excuse to be violent, you can find an excuse to be violent in just about anything, whether it's violent video games or the Bible. So
in that case, which is worse, do you guys think? In this case, you're talking about just the exposure to scriptural violence will make you more aggressive. Now, is that better or worse than a video game, which allows you to act out that violence and sort of get it out of your system?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I have no studies to back this up, but, you know, not having committed any violent acts myself and not being a big Bible reader, I can't really say one way or the other.
I mean, there have been plenty of passive media like books and music which have been blamed for violent acts without necessarily having any kind of interactive element. I do think it's interesting, though, you know, when you think about it, the Bible really is one of the most violent and in many cases deeply unpleasant pieces of literature in terms of the various horrors that are depicted in certain passages. If you were to create a new modern work of literature that had similar levels of violence and sex and incest and bloodshed and horrible, awful things happening, people would be up in arms about it. And
that Desperate Housewives?
I think until they have a plague of locusts on Wisteria Lane, I don't think we need to worry too much about that. But yeah, it is a very very violent book.
But still, I mean, come on, you're not suggesting that people who read the Bible are going to become violent people just because they've read these passages?
Absolutely not. No more. No more than people that play video games
exactly,
and become violent
exactly.
people.
The problem with religion.
I just think that this study is a great. You know, it puts things in perspective. It's saying, yes, video games could be used as an excuse could set off a disturbed individual to commit some violent act, but so can the Bible. So if you ban one, you got to ban the other.
I think ultimately it's nonsense, but yeah, well, as Dan says, what it does do is it does a canny job of demonstrating what nonsense the other argument is, which is, well, you know, if a violent video game, if you really believe that a violent thing can spur, you know, violent content can spur children to violence, then you've got to put the Bible in there along with everything else because it's a violent book. Let's move on to a topic a little nicer and a little more cheery. Let's talk about birthday cakes. Birthdays always cheer everyone up, and what could be nicer than a nice birthday cake on your birthday? Well, I tell you what could be nicer than that. It's a World of Warcraft homemade themed birthday cake that was made for you by your girlfriend who knows that you like Warcraft and went to a tremendous amount of effort to make a Horde themed birthday cake, which is, I'm looking at pictures of it now, and it really is an incredible feat of
amazing
cake makery. I don't know what you call it, but that particular skill,
baking.
But baking. That's just the cooking, the actual cake part, the decorating is something else altogether.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's got, you know, the full shield and, you know, crossed axes behind it. And I guess that's like an orcish symbol on the front.
Lots of detail.
The symbol of the Horde.
Realistic.
I wonder how much of that is edible.
It's all edible.
Well, all of it.
Yeah, it's written it's all edible.
It's all just sugar and frosting, and there doesn't look like there's any plastic pieces of it that you would have
Look at the little chain on the bottom of the axe there.
That could be done with frosting.
I guess it could be a lifesaver.
I think
you'd be amazed what they can what they can make things out of
if
now.
If all the ground has taught me anything, that's possible with frosting.
The wood grain is the most impressive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem I always have with cakes that are as impressively made as this is that you almost don't want to eat it. You don't want to spoil it by cutting it up. It's like,
well, at least they took a bunch of
look
pictures.
At it.
Right.
Yeah, you got to take a bunch of pictures first.
I wonder if somebody called dibs on the part with the axe.
We don't have an easy link to send people to, do we?
I wonder, where's my alliance cake though? The fact that it's a horde cake is kind of the only thing that takes the edge off for me. I'd like a nice alliance cake.
You can find pictures on our sidebar at PCGamerPodcast.com if you click on related show stories.
And there seems to be a lot of discussion here about how this guy should immediately marry this woman. And
she does seem to be a keeper.
Well, apparently she has a really good sense of humor because she, for Christmas, she got a Wow Stole My Boyfriend t-shirt.
Deliciousness plus one.
Just to go back to the earlier subject of how positive stories about games aren't really picked up in the media and the negative ones are, here's MSNBC roaring out of the gate with online addict dies after quote-unquote marathon session. An obese 26-year-old man in northeastern China died after a marathon online gaming session over the Lunar New Year holiday. So, of course, here's the story. They find a 330-pound man sitting dead, I guess, in his chair playing video games. And the story is not incredibly fat man dies, which is the story that makes sense, but fat man dies while playing... Man dies while playing video games. The fat
young, healthy man dies while playing video games.
30 pounds
might possibly have more
to do with his death than the fact that he was playing video games.
The guy probably ate this entire WoW cake himself.
Oh.
I mean, like...
I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
Do you think that if... You were playing your Game Boy or whatever, or your whatever video game you're playing on a particular day, and there was a massive earthquake, and your house crashed on top of you, and you were killed. And when they dug your body out, they found that you were playing a video game. The story would still be, person dies while playing video games, and like it would be like the earthquake part of that would probably be buried like five paragraphs down.
Imagine if he was reading the Bible while he died.
Well, but in this case, he had been playing video games for almost all of a 7-day break. Now, would he have been if he had been reading the Bible for all of a 7-day break? Then maybe they would do that.
Well, in that case, he would have been called up to heaven for his devoutness.
And just to play devil's advocate for a moment here, I suppose the argument could well be made that the reason why he was 330 pounds is because he did nothing but play video games all his life, when maybe if those video games hadn't got their hooks into him, he might have gone outside and run around a bit and not been quite so fat.
But you know, it's also more probable that he just would have sat around watching TV.
Yeah.
Because it says in the article that there's two things to do, you know, play video games, watch TV. Well,
yeah, I mean, if you're lazy, you're lazy, aren't you? It's not like, oh, well... If there are no video games, I may as well completely change my life and start living an active lifestyle. You're just going to find something else that's going to fit your sedentary lifestyle.
Right. As we all know, there were no fat people before video games.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there we go. The media kind of skews it again. But is there any other element to this story? It doesn't actually say what game he was playing.
No, it doesn't. But this happens like about once a year, I think.
Well, it's China. There are a billion people there. This is a one in a billion death.
It's always in China or North Korea or some Asian country where, you know, they're really involved with a particular MMO or something, and they'll just be sitting there for, you know, days on end. Of course, in this guy's case, he's also pretty heavy.
Yeah, you're right. One death out of a billion is not exactly a pandemic.
Yeah, I've sat and played video games for days on end, and you know, I've had to do that for reviews. Like when I was reviewing Supreme Commander, I played that game for three days straight. I had to play that and then some, you know, for multiplayer and everything. So, and during that time, I was eating sausage and jalapeno pizza and drinking a bunch like nothing but Diet Coke and. Yeah, it was awesome. But, you know, if I did that for weeks on end, yeah, I might die. But, yeah, you know, it's like, even, you know, binging, you must do in moderation, which I realize is a contradiction, but still, come on, a little perspective.
No, you can binge in moderation. If you say, I'm going to have, like, one really good binge a year, that's binging in moderation.
Mm-hmm. But I guess come August 21st, we'll probably do a little binging on BioShock.
Why? Is that when it's coming out or something?
Well, that's when 2K is now saying it's coming out. I mean, it's kind of unusual that they'd announce a release date this far out, like a precise date like that.
I guess that's increasingly rare these days, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, trying to compile dates for the release meter just got impossible. So I mean, now we have to do it by, you know, month or season, and because people just won't give out dates, because if you give out a date, you can miss it.
So the question is, why did they give out a date? What purpose does this serve? How does this help them to give out a date?
Well, they said that they wanted to allow you to plan your sick day in advance.
Yeah, that's what they say on the site.
Right, but that's the cutesy response. But what is the real, you know, when the business people sit down and decide this, what is the real reason?
I don't
see how this does them any favors.
I don't really get it either.
Like 6 months out.
Unless it's got to be a very safe date for them. It's got to be something like they're planning to finish it like a month before that. So they've probably got some built-in padding. And if they finish it before that, they'll probably work on some polish.
Yeah, maybe they're like well ahead of schedule, and they're like, yeah we're easily going to get this done.
And you know, I'd be kind of happy if that became the norm, because you know, even if people do finish when they plan to finish, which would be a month before the expected release date or the announced release date, they'd still have time to polish it. You know, I think they should do that. I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of like investment. Business reason why they would announce a date like that.
Retailers may want to know.
Yeah, but yeah, hopefully it becomes more common, because it is nice to have that solid date to look forward to.
And I'll tell you what else is nice, is that it kind of bucks the trend of no good games get released in the summertime.
That's also true. So I mean,
we don't know yet that it's going to be a good game, but obviously it has a very good pedigree, and usually the summer is somewhat bereft of quality games, so...
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say I'm 95% sure that's going to be a good game. I'm hotly anticipating it. Unless you know, it somehow figures out a way to reach out to my PC and punch me in the nuts, it's going to be a good game, I think. And
I would consider
seen...
that a great game.
Yeah,
if it was you that was getting punched in the nuts.
That's true.
I'd pay to watch that.
The first 100% ever.
Yes.
But no, I mean, I think, I, just from what I've seen of that game, the video and all the descriptions of levels, I guess, Chuck, you've seen a lot more than that.
I've seen it, yeah. It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it just looks awesome.
Now, Dan, I have a question for you. Because we're talking about good games here, and you touched on Supreme Commander earlier. I just got my copy of PC Gamer in the mail, in which you reviewed Command & Conquer 3.
Yes, sir.
My question is, which is the better game?
Well, by our score, Supreme Commander is the better game by 1%.
Okay.
My personal preference is for Supreme Commander, because I like the scale and the pacing better. They are really as different as you can get in RTSs, because SubCom is kind of a much slower. You have time to plan your tactics. The maps are much, much bigger. You know, it makes a difference if you, plot a lot of waypoints for your attack. You can do synchronized attacks. It's very, very complicated. A lot of stuff isn't even in the manual, I think. So there's a lot of learning to be done there. Whereas CNC3 is very fast, very simple, and it's designed to have like 20-minute games. SubCom can go on for hours if it's a big game and a big map and you've got good players.
See, based on what you've just told me there, CNC sounds like it's a bit more up my alley.
Probably.
Yeah, CNC is definitely for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I guess you could call it an action RTS as opposed to a strategy RTS, or a tactical RTS. Because, you know, it's just go, 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 go. I actually found, and you know, I say this in the review, I found it kind of anticlimactic to climb up the tech tree as fast as you do in that game, in CNC 3. Because, you know, you can crank out all these, you know, like the heaviest unit of each faction in, you know, inside of 10 minutes. And, like, with SubCom, you know, I'll build up and build up and build up and finally get to the experimental units, you know, which are the big, huge, honking, tanks, or, you know, the spider bot and the galactic colossus, which, you know, is the big stompy robot. And, you know, you get a real sense of achievement out of that.
I think that's really good though overall, because I was a little bit worried with after, you know, we talk about how the RTS genre isn't quite what it used to be, and we don't see a lot of, you know, big banner releases in that genre. And then we get SubCom, which is obviously a AAA title, and CNC3, another AAA title, both coming out kind of at the same time. I was a little bit worried that there might be a bit of redundancy there and the games would be stepping on each other's toes. But based on what you're saying about the different approaches, that's not the case.
Yeah, and they, like I said, they're as different as RTSs can get.
MTV has announced that they will be entering the MMO world, and for those of you who haven't already just turned off the podcast, let's let's get into some details here. It's gonna be based on their show Laguna Beach. Is this right?
Oh no,
that's
we don't have any listeners left right now, do we? We might as well just do what we want now because no one's listening now.
Oh yeah. Well,
I mean, we've just got everyone to shut down their iTunes immediately.
and it's not based on the real world.
Hmm. No, it's described as a Second Life-esque MMO where you walk around as all of the, you know, skanky teenagers on Laguna Beach. as somebody who doesn't watch MTV because I find it appalling, I will be staying as far away from this as I possibly can.
But I mean, aren't we just being a bit old farty about this, though? Because of course we find MTV appalling, but then MTV's job is not to entertain us; it's to entertain people half our age, and maybe for people half our age, this is an interesting product.
Well, is this actually an MMO, a game, or is it more like Second Life in the sense that it's a social experience for, you know, kids to just to talk to?
It depends if there's a subscription fee, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Being 18 and seeing this come out, I'm just totally not intrigued. Because if I'm actually that into video games that I'd subscribe to an MMO, I would take a game that'll actually have some substance rather, like, you know, a WoW or a Vanguard or something like that. Like, seeing this is just a waste of my time, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean,
prime hunting grounds for online deviants, I think, is the only way to really look at this. I can imagine that being very dangerous. It's like Second Life, but it's filled with teenagers.
Well, in that case, I think NBC should launch a To Catch a Predator MMO.
Oh yes, you got the virtual Chris Hansen.
Yes, that'd be
like
perfect.
you go into the virtual house, and then there's a little kind of Chris Hansen avatar there going, "You didn't expect to see me here, did you?"
You expected to see a virtual 15-year-old girl.
So what were you thinking of? What were you doing here?
I love. Is it just me? I love those shows.
Oh, I do too. Oh, I'm
they're so. They're so prurient, but they're so much fun to watch. And I think they actually have kind of done some good, because I bet you there are a lot of pervs out there now who definitely think twice about getting involved in this kind of stuff.
They keep catching the same guys over and over again.
What about that? Yeah, well, they've got like they've got the same guy like two or three times on there. Don't these people ever learn? I guess they just can't control their sick urges. They've got no control over it.
They probably figure, well, he's probably done now, so it's good.
So
no, as long as the ratings are good.
Yeah.
Hopefully MTV will be an outlet for them.
MTV, I think they recently bought Harmonix, which made the Guitar Hero stuff, which makes a lot more sense. I think they should probably just stick in that direction.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. I'm obviously far too old to understand it. Why am I reading this thing here that says Cyber Squatters have got Half-Life.com? How is that right?
Well, there's an important distinction to be drawn here. This is Half-Life.com, one word, whereas the game itself is half-life.com.
And who has that?
Well, that's Valve.
Okay.
This site, this Half-Life.com, one word, was formerly owned by some like musical or something. That predated the game by several years. I don't know when exactly their right to this domain expired, but it did. They let it expire somehow. They forgot. You know, this happens from time to time. Even Google has been known to, you know, let one of their domains lapse and have to pay to get it back when some jerk squatter gets it.
And they're wanting $1 million.
They want $1 million for it. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Do they really think anyone's going to pay that?
I'm in the wrong business.
I'm looking at archive.org's archive of the site from January 2006. It was actually owned by a toilet paper company selling toilet paper with novelty images printed on it.
Toilet paper?
Yes.
That's a new one.
I remember visiting this site, you know, years and years ago when I was looking for info on Half-Life 2. And it was some show, some like musical or something.
X-Wipes.
I really do find this whole cyber squatting thing quite distasteful. If you don't have a good faith reason to register that domain, if you're just doing it because you figure it's going to be worth money and the rightful owner is going to want it and you can just kind of hold it to ransom, it just seems like a really sleazy business to be involved
well,
in.
Well, absolutely. It is sleazy, but at the same time, you know, but that's the American way, isn't it?
It's not regulated is the problem. There's no, you know, controls over it, so. It's fair game until there's a
law. But there are controls over it though, because we hear these stories all the time where if someone goes out and buys, you know, JakeGyllenhaal.com and just decides to put his site up, doesn't Jake Gyllenhaal have a right? And I don't know why I'm picking Jake Gyllenhaal. And maybe I just like saying Jake Gyllenhaal.
You just have him on the brain for some reason.
I just like saying it. But, doesn't he have a legal right to that? Or if you get Microsoft.com, I mean, you can't just go and grab that even if it lapsed for one day, you couldn't just go and steal it.
But Half-Life's trademark is probably Half-Life, right?
Yes.
What about that guy that I actually thought did have a legitimate claim? There was that guy called Mike Rowe, and it was his real name, and he had a company called Mike Rowe Soft.
Yeah.
And they took it away from him.
Yeah. So,
there was a girl somewhere, her name was Betty, her real name was Betty something, and she got Betty.com, good luck to her, I say, and then the Archie Comics people, of all people, came in and steamed in and said, no, Betty and Veronica,
what?
We own it. And they tried to say, that's just not right.
Yeah, that's not right. That's an abuse of power.
Did they get it?
I don't remember if they did or not. Let's go to Betty.com right now and find out. Hold on. But, yeah, I was like, that's the other side. They got it. Archie, it takes you to Archie Comics.
Those bastards.
Oh. That is just, I used to like Archie, but he can.
I will never read another Archie comic. I've pretty much never read an Archie comic before, but I will never read another Archie comic.
You never read Archie? Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I'm not going to say that. No, Archie comics are crap because they steal websites from little girls.
Well,
no, wait, now
they're
going to sue us. Take that out.
I was going to register Jughead.com, but now forget about it.
I'm pretty sure that Jughead, Veronica...
It is.
Oh, you know, that's what it was. It wasn't Betty. It was Veronica.com. Let's see. I bet that go. Yep, Archie Comics. Those bastards. You see, you guys are complaining about Walmart and Microsoft and Halliburton. You guys are looking at the wrong people. It's Archie.
Just a note to everyone out there, I just looked for www.mrweatherby.com. It is not taken. So you can snatch it up right now.
Anyway.
Have we digressed?
Yeah, let's go into questions.
Hey, PC Gamer, Phil from Colorado Springs. A couple of quick things. A rant and a quick question. Just seems to me like a lot of the really popular favorite IPs from the PC games that we played from yesteryear, their sequels come back on the console and then get dumbed down and either are not ported at all to the PC or they're ported to the PC in a very poor way. I would use the example of this new Splinter Cell game being completely buggy and having no widescreen support, no SLI functionality whatsoever in there, you know, support for that. And then when it's done well, like Vegas, Rainbow Six Vegas, it's the control sets have been reduced so that you don't have things like the ability to plan your missions and you know, the things that you expected from a Rainbow Six game of yesteryear. Because it's taken on that console feel, and you can't even change your loadout weapons, things for your team, stuff like that. Just kind of wondering how you guys feel about that. And on that vein, the question being, is SLI kind of a sucker's bet? Because it seems to me that if the games don't support the SLI, then maybe it's better to just buy one card and then wait till the next release comes out. So in my case, I bought two 7800 GTX cards in SLI mode, I'd have been better off buying one and then just upgrading to an 8800 when it came out, spending the same amount of money overall, but having a lot more longevity out of my machine. So I wanted to get your feedback on that, and maybe you guys can speak to how the SLI actually works. Thanks for your help, and keep up the good work.
Well, obviously we feel bad about about games. Anything that doesn't benefit the PC is a bad thing. But, you know, there's just so much money involved on the console side that, that, you know, it's bound to happen. And, you know, they have to make the games console friendly. Otherwise they don't sell on the consoles and then they don't make any money. So.
Yeah, companies, I mean, they'll take a good idea. They want to maximize the amount of money that they get in return for it. So, of course they're going to take it to, you know, where the money is and for better or for worse, that's mainly on the consoles right now, and so they're going to make
for worse.
Yes, from our point of view, for worse. But yeah, they're going to take it there, and they're going to make it try and make it as friendly as possible to, you know, that user interface. And of course, you know, for a lot of long-standing PC series, it, you know, it doesn't work as well for mouse and keyboard, so it does end up getting dumbed down.
There's really not a whole lot to be done about that except to, you know, move on to the you know, PC-oriented franchises that are out there. I mean, the consoles aren't getting Crysis. So, you know, just be glad for that.
They're not getting Crysis, that's true. Although, I'm still surprised that CNC 3 is coming out on the console.
Right, but I saw a little bit of it in action. It does not look nearly as good. It's a different game. It's a very different game from the PC version. And there's no interoperability between PC and consoles because they had to dumb it down so much. But, you know, congratulations to EA, or thank you to EA for, you know, sticking to the PC in that, you know, they put out a PC-friendly version. Like, more so than just a ported version.
Yeah, I mean, I was really disappointed in the last Splinter Cell game because, the PC version of it was just, it was such a mess, so full of bugs.
But they did a good job with running. Vegas on
yeah,
PC.
Yeah, with Vegas they did a very good job. I mean, it came out, I think we all like it much better than, this reader does. It at least is a fun game, you know, whether or not you say that's dumbed down for the consoles or not, it's a fun game.
Well, and it has lost the tactical element. You know, it's no longer a tactical shooter as much as, you know, just a squad-based shooter with, you know, an AI squad, right?
Yes, that's true.
So, I mean, it's not what, you know, you expect from a Rainbow Six game if you played the first few and come back to the series and you're like...
Yeah, well, I mean, that planning element that was a big defining feature early in the series where, you know, you would kind of set up where your squads would go and have all the little automated pathing and then, you know, they would breach doors. I mean, that has been simplified. But I don't know if that's necessarily to the detriment of the PC version. I think that to some extent they did it that way because it works better for consoles, but also because maybe it just is a better way to do it. I don't miss that element of the game at all. I actually found it quite boring, and I find that doing it on the fly with smaller, more contained units actually is more exciting. So not all dumbing down is bad. Sometimes games maybe start out overly complex, and dumbing them down brings them down to the right level.
Now, I forget. Does SWAT 4 have that that option to allow you to plan ahead like that?
I think it has an element of it, yeah. I don't think it had any. It wasn't quite as involved is in Rainbow Six, where you actually had, like, the blueprints and you were kind of positioning all the markers and stuff
right. And
the waypoints.
But, yeah, I mean, there are other tactical shooters that have picked up where those games left off. So it's not like it's a total loss. It's just, you know, the franchise is losing their way, and that happens. So.
Or they just evolve over time. I mean, you have to remember that the SWAT series, you know, originally came out of the Police Quest series, which was an adventure game series.
Word up.
You know, so, you know, some game franchises, they just evolve. They change.
What about SLI? Because I personally agree with this guy. I've never owned SLI. I was glad to see the trend leave back in the Voodoo 2 days, and sorry to see it return.
Well, I mean, it does provide a substantial performance increase in the games that support it, and a lot of games do support it. It's, I mean, when these Ubisoft games came out that didn't support it, that was kind of an aberration. So... In a lot of games, you do get that support. I guess Supreme Commander also doesn't support it because they instead decided to support dual head monitors, and you can't do that with SLI. SLI can only run one monitor. But yeah, I mean, it just depends on. I mean, SLI is a high end solution. It's not something for the person that's trying to get, you know, the most out of every dollar, and you know, it's. I guess it depends on the price performance ratio you're willing to accept. It's nice to have the option to you know, go up to that you know, high end, but you don't have to do it. And there are more economic ways of getting, you know, more out of your money than that.
I think part of this guy's point, though, is that if you just wait a few more months, there's going to be a single card solution that's as powerful as a SLI solution.
Well, it's usually going to be about 6 months, at least.
Actually, I think there already is one out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, the 8800 is as powerful as, or it's more powerful, I think, than two 7800s SLI'd.
Right.
So,
right.
But I mean, the 7800 GTX is a year old at least. So it's a significant weight there. And of course, I mean, with, you know, PC technology, any time, every 6 months, there's going to be something newer and better. It's just, you know, a matter of when you want to upgrade and what you're willing to pay for.
Hey, PC Gamer. I'd like to request that you do not review Halo 2. I think that would be the best way to demonstrate that holding games back for 3 years before letting PC gamers get our hands on them is the worst way to advertise their new operating system. I'm as happy as anyone to see Vista build as a gaming system, but I want them to know that I am very much resistant to their attempts to manipulate my hard-earned money. I mean, come on, Halo 2 is going to sell for the brand new price of $50? I can just forget about the Halo series if they insist on overcharging and under-delivering. This also seems to be the place to ask, are the rumors about Vista not running any OpenGL games true? Also, is it pronounced Vista or Vista? Thanks for giving me more for my money than Microsoft, and keep it up.
You know, I haven't tried running an OpenGL game on Vista. It is Vista. I was calling it Vista for a long time, and Greg made fun of me a lot.
Were you?
I was. Early on, yeah, I was calling it Vista because I had some high school Spanish, and it is Vista in Spanish.
Oh.
And you know, that's pretty much all I remember about my high school Spanish. But yeah, I can't. I mean, can you think of any games that are exclusively OpenGL?
These days?
Well, not these days, but he's talking about old games.
Isn't the CarMax stuff OpenGL?
Yeah, well, the older stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was exclusively OpenGL or if it would also run in DirectX. I mean, a lot of games had different...
Well, yeah, back in the day it was all OpenGL because he didn't like DX stuff.
Yeah, let me IM Will Smith real soon, really quick, and see if he gets back to me about that.
I want to address that Halo issue though, because I think this guy is a fool.
Okay.
What right do you have as a PC owner to demand that the Halo games be delivered to your platform any faster than they already are? It started off as a console franchise. That's what it is, and so you know, the Xbox gets it first, and that is its right, just as it's, you know, the CNC. Is on PC first, and console owners have to wait. That's just the way it is. So I think there's a bit of an entitlement mentality there that I don't quite understand.
And I'll take you on that one, because it's a business. They can do whatever they want with it. But at the same time, they've been holding on to Halo 2. There's no good reason why they can't have released it for Windows XP on DX9. It doesn't require DX10. It doesn't use DX10. There's no reason to have it on Vista. They're only holding it. They've only been holding it for Vista, you know, just to have a killer app. It's not going to be a killer app for Vista. I mean, it's too long in the tooth at this point.
It would have been awesome if it had been the Minesweeper of Vista. If it had just been pre-installed.
That would have been a great idea.
That would be awesome.
That would have been fabulous.
But not so much.
Oh, and one other thing, Gary. I do have to say that originally... I know it was first released on
Yeah, console. I know.
PC title. I remember going to an early demo with Bungie way back in the day, and they were showing it on PC.
Were they showing it on a PC or were they showing it on a Mac?
No. They were showing it on PC. It was PC.
No, I remember that buggy driving around in that very early demo they had on PC.
Yeah.
But
it was originally being co-developed for PC and Mac.
Well,
I think, like you said, ultimately it's a business and they need to leverage these brands to make money. And, you know, by releasing Halo exclusively for Xbox at first, obviously they sell a lot of Xboxes that way. And you're right, Xbox. you probably could have. I'm sure they could have released Halo 2 earlier for PC, but they're doing the same thing here, and they're hoping to leverage sales of Vista, and it does sound a little bit arbitrary since it doesn't require DirectX 10, that it is only going to work under Vista, because clearly if they want
arbitrary.
To, they could have made it run under XP. They're just doing it because they want to make gamers buy Vista. And
I think,
that is their prerogative.
Yeah,
They're kind of crazy to do that, because who's going to buy a $200-$400 operating system to play a 3-year-old game that doesn't take advantage of the new operating system's features? It's ridiculous on their
part. But it's only a 3-year-old game if you're a console gamer. To PC gamers, it is a new game.
Okay. Well, yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's an old looking game.
Well, didn't they give it a fresh lick of paint? Surely it's going to be higher resolutions and things than it was on the original Xbox.
It does look a little bit better from what I've seen. Although, I mean, I played a little bit of it at CES, and I was so surprised because, when playing it with a mouse and keyboard, it's just so slow. You know, I felt like I was running underwater while playing it. And it's just so much slower than a standard first-person shooter for the PC.
Is it slower than Halo 1 on the PC?
I don't know if it is. It's just that I'm... Because I didn't play a lot of Halo 1 for the PC, but, you know, when you're playing with a gamepad, you know, you have to kind of fight the controls. And, of course, you don't have to really do that on the PC, and so I'm just used to being a lot faster, I'm running around a map.
I played Halo 1 on the PC, and I enjoyed it. I mean, it's a little different pace, yeah, but it's I didn't find it objectionable. You know, I just thought it was a little bit different and still fun.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's objectionable. This isn't an early review or anything like that. I'm just noting the difference, between the style and the feeling.
Right. Well, it's a
so Chuck, let me ask you this. Realistically, how do you think this should be done? Like, for example, Halo 3 for next year. Would you ideally have liked to seen that come out on Xbox and PC at the same time? Is that a smart thing for them to do?
Well, I don't know if that necessarily would have been a smart thing for them to do, but Halo 3 is definitely the game that people are waiting for, and I think that's the game that should have been their DX10 killer app for Vista.
Yeah, I mean, I would really like to see them, get or do away with, or at least, significantly reduce this waiting period to get these Xbox exclusive games, because, they've now with Vista they're promoting it as a game platform. They keep saying that, it's now a big concern of theirs to make Windows a game platform again, promoted as such. And if Microsoft owns these properties that are hot properties, they should be pushing them on the PC if they're serious about this Games for Windows initiative.
And actually, with Halo 3, they probably could, because the Xbox 360 has already been out for a year and a half now. So it's not like, they're going to be selling brand new. Well, they may be selling some new systems with Halo 3, but it's not going to be the same push as if it came out at launch.
And I do take that point, because I kind of think that if Microsoft is to be taken seriously about, making Vista, kind of reinventing the PC as an all-new gaming platform through Vista, which I think to some extent is what they're trying to do, then we should judge it by any other gaming platform launch. And when a new console is released, if the games that are available exclusively on that system aren't that great on day one, then a lot of people will complain about it. And judge by that standard, Vista was a really, really poor launch.
Not really, really poor. Most things worked.
I'm talking about games that take advantage of Vista and take,
right,
things
exactly.
to the next level the way that a next generation console
why
does
why
over
do
the previous
generation.
Why do
you need to go out to the store right now and buy a copy of Vista?
You don't.
You don't.
Exactly.
So, but by the way, to get back to the first part of the question, Will Smith just got back to me. According to Maximum PC editor Will Smith, he says... That fundamentally everything should be fine with OpenGL games. Quake 4 runs fine in OpenGL mode on Vista, so he doesn't see any reasons why they... he hasn't personally tried the old stuff, but he doesn't see any reason why it wouldn't work.
Okay, time for a quick playlist. I'll get us off to a great start by saying that I haven't actually been playing anything. I've just been very busy with work, and in fact, I've even kind of hit a bit of a plateau on World of Warcraft. After I hit 70, and my epic flying mount requires so much gold that it's going to be a real slog to get it. That I've just kind of I'm certainly not giving up. I will continue to play it, but the mad dash to 70 and all the time that I sank into it, that has definitely flattened out a little bit. And yet, ironically, Dan, it sounds like you've picked up the slack, because you have been playing it.
I have been playing it a bit. I've gotten up to level 17. I've got a level 17 Blood Elf Paladin. I haven't been putting that much time into it. It's been over the past few weeks that I've been working my way up there. And I'm enjoying it. I went on my first, or at least with this character, my first, instance raid. It was the, Wailing Caverns. Have you been on that one?
Yeah, it's out in the Barrens.
Yeah. So I went on that, and, it was just like four of us in there, and it was still kind of really confusing because everything was going on at once, and I kept feeling like I was accidentally pulling more guys than I should, and, I felt kind of klutzy in there, but, I'm having fun. I've been soloing for 95% of the time though.
Yeah, and that's obviously one of the strengths of the game is that, you can do a lot of the content solo, which a lot of people, even though it's a social game, a lot of people prefer to play that way.
Yes.
And I've been playing as, I've been working on my first aid skills, and as the Blood Elf Paladin, I have the Holy Light Healing, and I've been working on, my Herbalism and Alchemy.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I'm really trying to be self-sufficient here and, produce my own potions to heal myself and yada, yada, yada.
You'll get a free mount eventually, too.
Which really?
As a paladin.
Yes, as a paladin, there's a quest-related mount that you'll get. You won't have to spend any gold on it.
Mm-hmm. Gaz, did you get a regular flying mount?
I got the regular flying mount, which, I could easily afford, because by the time you level to 70, you've easily made, 1,000 gold plus.
Oh, yeah.
And the regular flying mount, I believe, is 900 gold, but then the 5,000 gold you need for the super, super, super fast epic flying mount, that's going to be a slog to get to, and I'm looking at that target right now and just finding that a bit depressing.
Well, I mean, you're playing, locked to level 60 for so long that, what's the difference between that and this? I mean, at least this way you've got something to work towards.
No, that's right. It just seems like it's such a long way off,
Right.
I mean, I've still got a lot of quests to do, but even when I've done all those quests, the amount of gold... I mean, most of the people that I know that have epic flame mounts had to borrow the gold or, get it some other way, God knows, maybe some people... I bet you the gold farmers, the people that sell gold, have been having a great time selling gold to people that really, really want their epic flame mount. I bet
that's
it's been boom
true.
Time for them recently.
Yeah.
First, obviously, I'm not going to go that road.
You could do what Jeremy did and reproduce and then sell your firstborn to Blizzard.
Whoa.
Although, did you see that woman who tried to sell her baby for $500 to put a down payment on a car?
What?
I did not.
Yeah, she sold it for $1,500.
Really?
And
she got a good price.
But unfortunately, the people that bought the baby and her and everyone apart from the baby was arrested. I don't know how you really arrest a baby.
Officer, arrest that baby.
You could use those little plastic strip cuffs, I guess, because they will fit around a wrist of any size.
I don't know. He's kind of a flight risk, though.
Yeah. more of a shite risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Speaking of, I've been playing the diaper-changing game pretty much every couple hours. I'm a total addict.
Is that kind of like Tapper, except with poo?
Yeah, exactly.
Whack-a-mole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in my free time, which is very little... is always spent down there with the baby in the living room, so it's been exclusively on the Wii. And I gotta say that Wii WarioWare is the best game that is on that console, bar none. It is the killer app. I said before that Zelda wasn't, and this is.
Now, do you ever feel kind of self-conscious playing it, though? Because it does involve a lot of spastic movements, doesn't it?
It's great. You totally feel self-conscious, and I'm constantly looking out the window to see if I have an audience or not. But it's ingenious. I mean, all the movements that you have to do, they really push the controller in directions I never would.
Yeah, I hear it's a lot of fun. I actually have been meaning to pick that up.
It's quite good. One of the games, actually, the game, like all the Wii games, actually instruct you to put the strap around your wrist for good reason, as we've discussed. But one of the games in Wario you have 3 seconds to drop the remote. And if you do, you win that game. As you know, the game is like 200 minigames. That's all you have to
do. It takes you 3 seconds to drop the remote.
Well, that's the thing. If you're not wearing the strap, you've dropped your remote on the ground.
Yeah.
It's ingenious. I thought it was hilarious.
So what is it recognizing there? Just a sudden stop on the accelerometer that you've dropped it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting.
Now, have you played any Trauma Center?
No.
No? My girlfriend's in med school, and I was having dinner with her and a bunch of her med school friends, and they were talking about Trauma Center.
That's a fun game. I've actually played that a little bit on the DS and on the Wii.
But it turns out it's not at all like real surgery.
No.
No, well,
really?
No.
Wow.
That's what I'm hearing.
Huh. I think it's ironic that no matter what you're doing, you're playing with Wii. Right now, it's kind of ironic since I'm the ex Killing Box columnist, so I'm usually playing first person shooters. But actually, I've been in the adventure game state of mind recently. So I've been playing Runaway the Dream of the Turtle, which is a sequel to Runaway something from a couple years ago, which wasn't a very good game. So I wasn't necessarily looking forward to it. But you'll see my review in the May issue, along with a review of episode 4 of Sam and Max, Abe Lincoln Must Die, which is going to be coming out very soon.
Why do Sam and Max hate America?
Well, Sam and Max don't hate America. You have to ask yourself, what did Abe Lincoln do to deserve to die?
That's a good question.
Mm. Yeah. What's Abe been doing in the last couple hundred years?
Recently?
Yeah, exactly. Besides,
talk about your moribund genres, though. I'm actually amazed that anyone even makes adventure games anymore.
Oh, no. Because they're still very popular overseas, and what happens is they usually get imported, and they're sold here for, like, you know, $19.99, $29.99. So, you know, the U.S. isn't the primary market for them. You'll find very few big-name publishers making them anymore, if any, at this point. But, you know, there's a constant flow coming in from overseas.
It really baffles me though that Lucas have not seen fit to bring Monkey Island back, especially after all the pirates stuff that's been going on in recent years. It seems like that's just a license to print money.
I thought they did one like 7 years ago or something. Of Monkey
Island. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah, but
we're talking now, Jeremy.
Well, you know they're bringing Wing Commander to the Xbox. They're doing an Xbox Live Wing Commander multiplayer.
Yeah, but it's
going to
be like a mini game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Arena. It's Wing Commander Arena.
It's kind of neat.
But I'm telling you, a lot of these old franchises, they need to be brought back because they were great.
Yeah, but they're all going to go onto the console and there'll be a different game. Maybe.
Yeah, but the point there's no point putting them on the console because you lose a lot of the brand recognition. The point is that PC gamers will recognize brands, the classic PC franchises, but you bring them over to console, and it's like kids that weren't even born when the original games come out, and they were just like, duh, what's this? They don't know.
Yeah. Those
Andy,
kids.
What have you been playing? Speaking of the punk kids.
I know what he's been playing.
Yeah. I've been still very addicted to World of Warcraft, having a level 70 Blood Elf Rogue.
Damn.
And, just working on getting the Karazhan key, because my guild has been diving very deep into Karazhan. And I quickly came to the conclusion that having people whisper me and having that printed in the magazine was probably one of the most questionable decisions I've ever made. I've been getting upward of 10, 11 whispers a day. Just, you know, it's nice to get that kind of reinforcement, just, you're awesome! And I'm like, yes! But, you know...
Makes it hard to concentrate on the game, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I'll be in the middle of an instance and I'll get just like three whispers just like, you're cool, awesome, are you Andy? And people always say, you know, it's like, good job on the article. I'm like, that was actually Mark Crump, but I'll pass along the good word. And they just don't say anything. They're just like,
Well, we did have the intern Andy says boxes all over the review.
Yeah, but at the end it's still like Mark Crump, but you know, yeah. I can understand the confusion, so it's no big. To everybody that whispered me, thank you.
All right, we're gonna bring this show to a close. Thanks everyone for joining us, Dan, Chuck, Andy, and Jeremy. You can of course contribute to the PC Gamer podcast either by submitting an audio question to us. There are instructions on the website to do so, or in the forums. Each podcast has its own little discussion thread that you're welcome to contribute to. So. That's it for another week. We will see you all later in the merry month of March, and be careful out there. And don't forget, you can visit www.pcgamer.com/subscribe to subscribe to the magazine. yeah. and heavy.
Jeremy, you should probably try and cut that one down by about 30%. See if you can condense it a little bit.
Oh, listen to the editor talking.
Well, no, just based on the amount of.
I was thinking more 30. I was thinking more between 33% and 35%.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
The New York Times is reporting that high definition is going to spell a lot of problems for the porn industry.
do not talk about that one.
Yes.
Why?
Because we talked about it last week and people have done nothing but bitch about it on the forums ever
since. Oh, really? Yes. I didn't listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
What were they complaining about? Who doesn't want to talk
boring.
About it?
Boring. Yeah, that's what we thought.
The whole thread is about it.
Wait, yeah. They thought it was boring?
But he was UEF and had managed to upgrade his commander with a personal shield generator, so it only half killed his commander.
I have never been so bored in my life. Now I know how the non-WoW players feel when we go on and on about World of Warcraft.
It would have been a brilliant victory though if I had won that. So it would have come out of nowhere and just smashed him.
You're the man.
I was so disappointed when that didn't work. Like no, okay. I'm done.